Let us pray together. As the song just said, I must tell Jesus. This would be a good time to do that. In our prayers, in our singing, in our readings, in our proclamation, let us tell Jesus all that there is to say about ourselves. He already knows. Let us be honest in the face of God knowing. Now let us worship and let us praise and let us give thanks. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We'd ask you to stand and sing with us Nothing But the Blood, which is page 362. And after that, remain standing on page 885, The Affirmation of Faith. First, page 362, Nothing But the Blood. Page 885, A Modern Affirmation. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as a divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love, as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen. Again, we're glad that each of y'all are here this morning, members and visitors alike. Thank you for being part of our time together today. We'd ask that you would share with us any joys or concerns that you would have this morning. You get it off tomorrow, amen? Has it not become your friend? No, I understand. We're glad you get it off tomorrow, too. Mary, how about you? Any off tomorrow? You got 17, 18 more weeks or what? July what? 3rd. Okay, well, you're closing in on that, too. We're going to put bubble wrap around several of y'all and make sure that y'all do okay at this point. I want to also mention, see how many of y'all remember this. Do y'all remember when the Coach Berry Bookstore used to be on Western Avenue in Knoxville, Tennessee? Any of y'all remember that? In the old Episcopal office with a bookstore beside it. That is when I was a young preacher. Okay, so that tells you, and I mean young preacher. Still had not went to seminary, was a local pastor, young. And the person who managed that store was Jenny West Case. I went in as a young preacher needing a robe because I had to have one for services at the church I was at, and I looked at it, and the price of the robe I wanted to buy was $600. That was back then. That robe now is about $2,800 to $3,000. And so I looked at it, smiled, thanked her, and left, and said they'll just have to get me in my suit, which I only had one of at the time. But anyway, it's another story too. And so about 4 weeks later, on my front step came a package, and the manager of that bookstore sent me that robe, that white robe that I was looking at. And it was there with a note saying, use this in God's spirit, nothing else. I say that because Jenny West Case, who was the manager of that store, passed away last night. She became a dear friend. She and I agreed that Jesus Christ was Lord and Savior of all, and we agreed on nothing else. Nothing else. We never agreed on, I don't even know if we would agree that the sun came up in the east and set in the west. We agreed on nothing else. And yet she was one of my dearest friends in all the world. You can disagree and still be friends. And she passed, and I just thought, so next Sunday at communion, believe it or not, I still have that robe. So next Sunday during communion, when you see me wearing a white robe, which I always hoped would make me look like an angel, but never did, it will be because she got that for me. And the only change in it is it has the doctoral stripes on it. And she had them put on for me after I earned a doctor's degree. So just do that in her honor. And whenever her funeral is, you'll see me absent, because I'm going to be at that service, even though it'll be right interesting because I can see who's preaching. But anyway, and so it'll be fun. So just know that. Anyway, sorry, that was a long story, but any other prayer requests this morning? If not, I'd ask that you would let us have a time of silent prayer, then after that, the pastoral prayer and the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray together. We thank you, O Lord, for the beauty of this day, for the love that you have given us, for the gift that comes from you and only you in a way that we cannot imagine how much you love us in that gift, and yet you offer it to us for free. You grant us an open door to pray. You grant us the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us to have life. You grant us healing so that wrist and arms could heal, so that we can find our soul being healed. You grant us an amazing way to have an open way of talking and praying to you. May we understand how much love goes into that. May we be aware of how much caring is involved in that. And may we open our souls to the healing of our souls and in the changing of our lives. Allow us this day, O Lord, to be open to the movement of the Holy Spirit in worship today. For worship is truly a happening and glorious time if we are changed by the Spirit. It is simply gathering together if the Spirit does not change us. So let us be moved and changed, and let us be one with you. Now allow us as a family of God to pray together the prayer that you offered to your apostles, your children, the apostles, when you said to them, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." We'd ask that you would stand and sing with us page 364, "Because He Lives," page 364. Please be seated. We'd ask the usher to come forth this time, please. Let us pray together. May the gift we give today be the gift you have given, all that we are. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, we have Amazing Grace as our next song, page 378. Most of y'all will have heard it at least once in your lives. You should know it. According to the note left on my bulletin by my wife, it says 378, not verse 5. So don't sing verse 5. Let us stand, let us sing together 378, Amazing Grace. God's praise than when we first begun. You may be seated. Before we have our scripture and our time of sermon, Larry says he has about 30 minutes. As you know, he and I went to annual conference, and it's the job of the persons who went to annual conference, the layperson, to come back and give a short report to the church about what happened, and I'm to fill in the blanks. Okay, so Larry, if you would come and do that at this time. And you said you got slides and everything?
Yeah, got some slides. It took me 2 weeks to figure out how to get slides on a little device, but I finally did it. Keith, go ahead. You see here, this was in the main auditorium. I don't know what to tell you. I've never been to conference. It was awesome. Our conference, Holston Annual Conference, is made up of 9 districts. We're part of the Tennessee Valley District, which is a new name. Okay, from the Knoxville District. It was just wonderful. Put the next slide up for me. Let's see who's coming up. There he is. He made his presentation on this was his last one.
Board of Pensions and Health Care.
Board of Pensions. Nobody threw anything at him. Nobody, no unkind remarks or nothing. He did an excellent job. And I'd like to say what I heard was that he's in this leaving. That Board of Pensions is sitting at over 100% funded. So they don't have to come back and get money from the conference. They've done a good job of managing it these years under his direction, I feel. And that was a good thing to be able to talk about. What's next? Lake Junaluska. I put a picture of Lake Junaluska on the bulletin board out there. Folks, you need to look at it. That is one awesome place. And it's not just for, you know, religious. You can go out there and spend vacation. They've got all sorts of things to do. You're close to the Smokies as well. But it was a beautiful, beautiful place. One of the things that I was really excited about is we got to see a couple of pastors. Sam Reese was there, talked with Sam. And then I looked up at the committee that's set up there, and I think he's the secretary.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I looked up and I said, he looks familiar. I punched Mary and she said, that's Terry Goodman. I said, oh my goodness, Terry Goodman. 21 years ago, right, Mary? That Terry Goodman was here. He had a new baby, and he showed Mary the picture of the 21-year-old today. And he said he's quite grown up and quite, you know, not a baby anymore. Going up was a real chore for us. I-40 got closed at Oak Ridge. They sent us over to off Oak Ridge, Lenore City. I don't know. We just kept moving around, and it took about an extra hour for us to get there. The music, I wish I had some of the music. I don't know how to explain it. It was beautiful. They had choirs from different churches there, not a band, but they had musical instruments they were playing, and it was just wonderful. Really. You know, built you up, gave you that spirit, and that's what it was about. I guess one of the most important ones that I thought I really enjoyed. Now let me tell you this real quick. This is Chief Junaluska. Lake Junaluska is named after a Cherokee chief. And I'm not going into the details, but there is quite a bit of detail about how Lake Junaluska was founded, and I thought that was real interesting. I did really find that to be interesting. But one of the services was the memorial service. A total of 23 of our clergy have gone to be with God. And that was really interesting to go over each of those clergy, talk about them. And I had no idea that Vance Eastridge, our former pastor, he passed away in October of 22. And then the next best one was a retirement recognition. I really enjoyed that. 26 pastors, with the longest pastor serving 47 years. 47 years. Now, I don't know, some of you may not remember, or Sue Lynn Johnson, she's the wife of Jerry Johnson. Jerry was a school teacher here at one time. She served 24 plus years and she retired this year. And I think somebody was talking to her afterwards. We're trying to get her to come back down here to Rockwood.
Could be me.
Yeah.
Could have been.
Preaching was outstanding. We had a Bishop Gregory Palmer from West Ohio Conference. And I'm telling you, that man can preach. And he preaches the word. He preaches what God puts on his heart. It was amazing. Every night, every time I heard him, I walked away feeling closer and closer to God. A lot of actions were voted on. They were very straightforward. Nothing that I would consider, you know, out of the ordinary. But we did have one little controversial issue dealing with the discipline, but that's all basically been put on hold until the general conference in 2024. And all I can say, it was overall a great experience. I would look forward to going again if that's possible. And I would like for maybe some of you to think about that, going as well to the conference. It was an exciting and a wonderful time, except for Mary with her broken arm. But she made it. We did well. We had a good time. Good food, and met people from different churches. Everybody was friendly. You know, even in the votes when they were yes and no, you know, vote yes, you vote no. And one time I was in the middle of a bunch of no's, but nobody hit me or threw anything at me. I mean, it was good. We had a good time, and it was a wonderful experience. Thank you.
So did you, the picture before that was you and Mary.
Oh, yes.
At the cross.
Take that back one, please. That was a cross up next to where we were staying. I wanted a picture of it at night, but everything at night when I took it with my phone, it was just a big glob of you know, blur. But that cross was beautiful at night, lit up in the sky in the background, and we just, it was just gorgeous. And that last one, go ahead. Next one. They, for all the services, they had, you know, had what's the term?
An altar.
An altar. And they changed, but this is one I got a picture of, and I mean, they just did a beautiful job. Again, I, you know, we just couldn't thank the people that worked on that. It was awesome.
Well, don't leave.
Uh-oh.
So I'm just going to say a couple words and make sure that I don't miss anything. I'll do the bad stuff. There were 264 churches that disaffiliated from the United Methodist Church, which meant we went from over 708 almost to 528 churches in host and annual conference that remain. You will know that the churches in Harriman, the two of them both disaffiliated. And Swan Pond, which was in Harriman, I believe is this address, was closed officially. So we had 13 churches closed. Lack of attendance, building disrepair, all different kind of things like that. So there was issues about that, and that happened. That's what you remember from that also, I assume. And
yeah.
So, and then we did have five votes that were all of them. One of them was voted in, which was allowing churches after General Conference of 2024, between July 1 and December 31st, if they want to disaffiliate, to still be able to disaffiliate under the current disciplinary policy. Before that would not have been allowed. So that was the one that was actually approved that had any teeth to it. The rest of them were aspirational or sent on to somebody else, and they didn't have any real, really any motion to it. So that happened that way. So that was those that happened. And then you mentioned Board of Pensions. 4 years ago when I became chair, we had 72% of our funding covered for retirees, and no money, hardly any money in the bank. When I left, and I'm officially gone now. I signed my last things Tuesday. When I left, we now have 102%, and still not where we need to be on reserves, but we're at $2.7 million reserves, which only covers 30 days of Board of Pensions money, but it's better than being about 4 million in the hole. So we move forward with that. So that's in a good place. So I feel better leaving it where we had it before. And I only had one question. It was from a Board of Pensions ex-member, and he had a good question, so it worked out fine. I did have one other very important question asked you. Did you eat any hot fudge cake?
Yes, I did. We found a locally owned diner, and you knew it was locally owned because when you went to the door, it said no credit cards, no checks, cash only. But I'm telling you, it was some of the best food. That was our supper meal, I think, every night, except one night.
One night.
But every supper night, that's where we went. Great.
So it's Ammons. If you ever go up there, Ammons is a great place to eat. And so and we went back already once since y'all left, but that's another conversation for another time. So while we're both standing here, and before I get to scripture and sermon, any questions from anybody about what occurred? Anything you would ask that Larry could answer? Do you like that? And I could help. Anything you would want to bring up? Seeing nobody, thank you for much for going with us and eating with us those couple times and putting up with my friends, my rather eclectic group of friends, as you saw. And so and we had a great time together, I thought.
And whatever, we need to continually pray for the Methodist Church, okay? I do this every night in my prayers, and I would ask you, please continue to pray for the Methodist Church. Pray for this Rockwood Methodist Church. But pray for the Methodist Church as a whole, because there's a lot of things being discussed, a lot of things going on, and we just have to wait and see where things go. But remember, this is our church. How we believe, how we hold ourselves and hold our faith in God, that's how we live here, okay? So don't get hung up on up here. Stay right here.
And I'll keep you involved, informed up there as you need it. And so... All right. Well, thank you very much, Larry. Mary, thank you for going. We'll make sure next time we all stay out at the country club and off campus. We'll have more fun. How about that? And so that's another whole story. All right, friends, since there's nothing else, I wanted us to have that. Number one, the discipline says we're supposed to. And number two, I thought it was really important for us, y'all, to hear what we did and how we spent our time there and the things that happened in that place. So, that being said, if you would find your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 19. And as you're able, please stand. And I would say to you, you know what's one of the hardest things for a pastor when he shows up at his pulpit? His sermon's not here anymore. Somebody took it and put it somewhere else. So we are without sermon this morning, so we're doing this. Keith, I'm on my own, okay? And so you just know that as you go through those slides this morning, that there's no sermon up here. Who knows where it went? So Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 19 through verse 25. Let us hear God's word. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together and the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is a word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray together. In the presence of our Lord and Savior, let us know that your grace is sufficient for all of our needs. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we have been in Hebrews the last 2 weeks. This makes our third week in just chapter 10. And we're trying to work through this because of the shift in understanding of scriptures that happens in Hebrews, specifically in chapter 10, but it is through the entire book. So really quickly, let's define a couple of things that we've said the last two Sundays, but let's make sure we have it in place, and then we'll continue with what we're doing this morning. Remember that in the book of Hebrews, they're still attempting to live under the sacrificial system. So everything is done the old way, as we think about Deuteronomy and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers. It's about the old way of doing things. They still sacrifice bulls. They still have grain offerings. They still have different kind of wheat offerings. They have different kind of blood sacrifices. They go through their year having different sacrifices for different sins. And then they have the one main sacrifice once a year to cover the blood of the sins of those for the past year and for the beginning of the upcoming year. Everything is done in the old way. Okay? So the writer of Hebrews is attempting to create a shift in the way they do things. Now, these shifts won't seem difficult for us. We've read about it for 2,000 years. We all will go, well, that's the way it's supposed to work. And you even see, thank you, Keith, you even see that we have confidence through the blood of Jesus. Sounds simple, right? It's what we believe. We have a confidence through the blood of Jesus. The problem is, even though they accepted the fact that Jesus was the Son of God and was crucified for them, there was still a need for the old sacrifices. The confidence in the blood of Christ no longer, or at that point, did not exist. They did not believe that that's how they were saved or how their sins was taken away. And so the authors, and even as you begin in this chapter, the authors are doing their best to try to say to them, therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. So remember, under their understanding of the temple, there was a curtain that was between the Holy of Holies and the rest of the temple area. So you had the Holy of Holies and the curtain. You had the court of the men, you had the court of the women, and the court of the Gentiles. And then in the court of the Gentiles is where you had all the animals that were being sold and sacrificed inside the temple. And that's where you bought and sold those things. Hence, when you come to Jesus' time on his last week before his death and he overturns the tables, he's in the court of the Gentiles overturning the tables. That's where he's at doing that. And so he's there and he overturns and he sets the stage for what is going to be his crucifixion. Well, at his crucifixion, you'll remember, as he's hanging on the cross on that ninth hour, the curtain of the temple is what? Torn in half, and it is opened up, and for the first time ever, they can see inside the Holy of Holies, even if they're not the high priest. They're open to come in. All right, well, the Hebrew people at this point, they're doing everything they can do to still live under the old way of doing it. We think, and we believe, that we have a right to come to God without any assistance. Now, some of our brothers and sisters, other denominations, still have confessional booths. Sometimes I think I need a confessional booth. So, it's one of those things. That's cool. You know, however they think they need to do it. But what I'm trying to say is you don't need anyone else to get there. Sometimes, my friends, it's better to pray with somebody to get to God. Sometimes we need help. But understand, you have an open curtain to come to the Holy of Holies. Just for history, just for fun, for our sanctuary, y'all understand you set your sanctuary up as the Holy of Holies is set up, right? Y'all know you've done that. Everybody say, yes, David, we know we did that. And if you didn't, think about it. Where you sit, everybody calls where you sit the sanctuary. It is not. It is the nave. You sit in the nave. The altar is set up where if you were an Old Testament way of doing things, you would do the sacrificing inside. Notice it's even in almost all churches, even who have no idea what we're talking about, in almost all churches, it's raised from the floor up on some level. There's a barrier between the nave, where the people are, and the Holy of Holies, where the high priest is. Where do we set our communion up at? Inside of the Holy of Holies. In fact, we set it up all the way up here to do it. It's even farther from the people in the nave. And I had one church that set their communion up, and y'all may have done this in the past, set the communion up here inside of the inner altar that only the high priest can enter. Your church is perfectly set up for the Holy of Holies and everything be in place. You've done it the old-fashioned way. Now, almost all Methodist churches, if they're over 30 years, are set up this way. Split lectern. Hence, you have a direct path to here, but you're not allowed here. Now, we allow people here, obviously, but under the old way, even to the fact that, remember, some of y'all may remember this, back when we did communion, when we started allowing laity to serve, for a long time, only the clergy could serve. But when we started allowing laity to serve, we invited them to come forward. They had to stand down there. It was not allowed up here to come get the communion. Right, shift. We have shifting of understanding. And what they're trying to shift is they're trying to help us understand that I can come to the sanctuary because we, through the flesh of the one who died for us, can come forward. So we can approach, this is verse 22, can approach a true heart and full assurance of faith with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You're baptized in the Methodist church. Whether you were baptized as an infant or an adult, it makes no difference when this conversation happens. The water is brought forth, whether it's in the baptismal font that we have or whether we take you out to the creek. The pastor will bless the water before the baptism happens to make it pure water. Why do we say it's pure water? Because we believe God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit's in the water. It's in the baptism. With a faith that God does the baptizing, not the human being. If you watch this, we can approach then a true heart with full assurance of faith that we are clean. A full assurance of faith. Now watch that. If I was to ask you a question, the following, you don't have to answer, but the following question, if you die today, would you go to heaven? Have you ever heard a person answer the following way? Well, I hope so. It's when the pastor takes a deep breath, tries not to say anything I ought not say, tries to behave, and says the following thing kindly. This is not a hope-so religion. This is I know religion. You either know you're saved or you don't. And if you don't know you're saved, guess what? You may not know. You have not full assurance. See, we're trying to offer you full assurance. We want you to be assured of your salvation. We want you to know Christ. Paul is attempting to say to folks, if Paul is indeed the author here, Paul's trying to say to folk, look, I'm trying to shift you from sacrificial system where it only helps for 1 year to a full assurance of a lifetime of knowing God saves you. Now the church, in the case of the Hebrew people, for the ones who did not return to full Judaism, the ones who tried to stay the course, it took 200 years for them to accept this. And you thought Methodists was slow. 200 years to accept this. Can you imagine? 200 years to get the dynamic shifting of one way of doing sacrifice to the other one, which is the sacrifice? So this is the shift, the argument, firm in hope. Well, are we? Are we firm in hope? Do we believe this shift? Do you truly believe you are saved through the blood of Jesus Christ? Watch how this works. This is hard for them. I don't know if you've watched the news lately. In the Methodist Church, hosting conference, by the way, we neither one of us mentioned this, hosting conference will be 200 years old next year. 2024, we'll be 200 years old. From the first annual conference that met in Knoxville with 9 people to a conference that now meet with between 1,000 and 1,200 people every year. 200 years old. Now, we've been through splits, we've been through mergers, we've been through this and that. We started out 200 years ago as the Methodist Episcopal Church. And then we became the Methodist Episcopal Church, South or North, depending on which way you went. And then we went with the Methodist Church. And then we became the United Methodist Church. That's why we're confused. I mean, we just keep changing. But 50 years ago, on the day that we held annual conference, the first women were ordained. Now, our brothers and sisters, and I truly mean it when I say our brothers and sisters, they believe in Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. They're my brothers and sisters, whether I agree with them completely or not. Now, our brothers and sisters in the Baptist Church are kicking people out for ordaining women. Wonder where they're going in this conversation. How long will the shift take, or will it? Think of the different ways of the shifting. This is important because you watch it here. From one way of doing things to another, and you take it and you look at how they do this. So watch then. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. Now, normally, in many cases, not normally maybe, we do the Apostles' Creed. Y'all know it? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, unless you do the old traditional version, and that changes that a little bit. You say it. Watch it. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. Why in the world does this daggum preacher make y'all read confessions? Says to. Hold fast to the confession of our hope. If you don't know what you're confessing, guess what? You don't know what your hope is. You got no clue. Those are not just words. God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Wow. It's not just words. It's words that come from a confession that we have hope. In confession of our hope, promised is faithful. Christianity, at its worst, is a belief in pastors. All my pastor friends just rolled over. If you believe in a human pastor, and that's who you confess to, you are in trouble. Confession is in Jesus Christ. Belief is in God. I've been in the United Methodist a long time now. And as Larry may tell you, I think I know everybody that was at annual conference. I'm not sure, but maybe I do. I talked to most of them, didn't I? I never get out of conference early. I think they're all just glad to see me leave, but anyway, it's another story. Think of the process of this. I love them. I do. I don't put my faith in any of them. I know bishops. I've had the privilege of preaching to the Council of Bishops. I love them. Many of them are my dear friends. My faith is in none of them. My faith is the one that we talk about in this book. See, when you watch what it says here, sincere of heart. I know God's sincere in heart. Watch how that unfolds and reflects upon it. Let's consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds. I love the way it says. I don't know how your scriptures say it. Provoke one another to love and good deeds. Anytime we start talking about provoking somebody, usually we think it's a bad thing, don't you? I provoked them. Did they hit you? Maybe. Provoke them to love and good deeds. You're going to hurt their feelings. Yeah, I hate that. Ask Mary Lynn if I've ever hurt her feelings. Just say yes. Yeah. It's okay if you do it in love and caring. See, sometimes you've got to be willing to get after people. They won't like you if you do that. Probably don't like me now. Look at the process of this. Provoke one another to love and good deeds. And here's the kicker of this, end of this. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. According to the writer of Hebrews, neglecting to meet together is inappropriate. I didn't say it. The book said it. We're supposed to be together. And the habit of some people is to do what? Not show up. Look around. No anybody's not here this morning? It's your job to provoke them in love to come to church. You ever thought of it that way? Provoke them. Get after them. Well, they won't come. They're not coming now. Look at the process of this. In love now, not being a you-know-what, but in love, you go at them that way. Habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. When's the last time you encouraged somebody? 2 years ago at annual conference, my dear friend Jenny West Case, who I said, she and I agree on nothing. Nothing. Except Jesus. I'd just given my report for the Board of Pensions, and it was not the good report you just heard this year. We raised the insurance rates 13%. We gave no raise to the retired pastors. And we cut out some of their benefits. I was not the belle of the ball. And I had to give that report. And then I told them we couldn't tell them how much the rates were going to be the next year because we were behind and having to figure those things out. It wasn't a pleasant afternoon on the stage. The only solace was my dear friend who's the chair of Conference Finance Administration, her day was worse. So we sat down together after we finished back-to-back report, looked at each other and said, I doubt anybody's asking us out to eat after this. Well, my dear friend Jenny West Case come up, and I just been pummeled. It was ugly. Remember, we don't agree on anything. She came up to me and she said, you know, that was a pretty sorry report. I said, yes, it was. She said, don't you think we ought to have dinner? I love you with all my heart. Don't agree with anything you just said, but I love you. That's why she's my friend. Because we disagree. We provoked each other a lot. See, love suggests that we have to shift. Now, we have to be careful who we shift to. We've got to go the right way. We've got to make sure that's where God wants us to go, more importantly. But the people in Hebrews are trying to work through this with those dear folk. Now, we're going to continue over the next 2 weeks with this conversation. We're going to work through this with them. I believe if we listen to what happens in Hebrews, it will help us as a church work through where we are. I think Paul is speaking to some of the very essence of what we're talking about. But you've got to hear it and not be afraid. Do it in love and caring. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Pretty good without notes, I think. Are you okay, Keith? Yeah. Closing hymn, only the first verse of Rock of Ages, page 361. Let us stand and sing together. I do want to thank Larry for his report. I'm sure if you have questions, he'd be happy to answer them after church. Don't get nervous about what I'm about to do now for the next thing. This is my Sunday that finishes my first year here. I come back, as far as I know, nobody's told me I'm leaving, so I'm coming back starting next week. But I need to meet with any members of the staff parish for like 2 minutes. At the end of this, it has nothing to do with movement of a pastor. I have a request from one of your sister churches on the charge with us, and they want to ask y'all a favor. So I'm going to bring you those requests right out. It'll take us 2 minutes max. Just meet in my office. We'll do it right there at the end, okay? Then we'll go from there. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. May your grace, no, Lord, may we trust your grace and then let your grace overwhelm us. May we have faith in the fullness of your love and let us not be afraid. And if we shift, if we change, let it be what Paul is trying to do with the church in Hebrews, to see the change happen. So there's greater faith in God. Now let us go in peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.